From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. More Idaho Matters right now. The actor's strike is over, finally. But the repercussions of the labor action will likely be felt for at least the next few years. And two fabulous movies are about to open up at the theater. So here to help us figure out what to watch is our resident movie critic. And of course, our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so the actor's strike, and when we say finally over.
Yeah.
I mean, finally over.
Midnight last night, this morning.
Okay, so what happens next?
Actors have been given the okay to go back to work immediately. Now, the union still has to ratify, but the union leaders are that confident that ratification will come in a vote. I guess it's a matter of how do you get an entire production back on its feet, right?
Right.
I would think weeks, but maybe some have been waiting and they're just ready to pull that switch. And I think that they'll be very anxious to get back to work. We know that there were scores of productions midstream, TV certainly, and major motion pictures that came to a halt. Writers have been writing, by the way. They ended their strike right in September. So I think it will be quick. The question will be a year from now, 2 years from now. There is every indication to think that there will be less. The studios already hinted that they will be producing less television, less film to cut costs. So what does that mean for actors? That probably means less jobs.
You know, what's interesting though, George, is just from a consumer's perspective, I'm kind of like, well, I'm okay with you not producing so much because there's been so much out there.
Right.
And maybe we can get quality over quantity.
From your lips.
I'm just saying.
From your lips. I think I would hope that this has given everyone some pause about what is being produced. Now, everyone wants to work, and studios are notorious for just throwing content up against a wall and seeing if audiences will react to it. But I would hope that, to your point, that people would think, you know what, we should really reconsider where we are as a culture.
Yes.
I mean, let's really have this conversation as a culture. What have we learned? We have yet to see any real reflections on the pandemic on the screen, big or small. I think those are stories that desperately need to be told, not necessarily just the healthcare story, but just how it impacted almost everything and just how, you know, we do think differently about one another. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see something, anything, right? But how do you salvage a television season if you can't get it up on its feet in, say, a month?
Right.
Does that mean new episodes in February or March for a few months?
Or do they hold it until next fall?
Or do we just throw the entire concept of a season out the window, right? I think streaming has been a disruptor of what is a season. So networks are probably anxious just to make more money. And right now we've been watching a lot of reality television, a lot of sports, et cetera. But I would certainly like to see something really good on television. Now, some of the movies that we're seeing, of course, were produced before the strike.
Yeah.
And but I think I think that's going to impact some of the movies that we will or won't see in the coming months.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the movies that we will be able to see, because two of your favorite movies of the year are opening this weekend?
One of them opening this weekend, one opening next week.
All right.
So I was lucky to see the premieres, both of these, in Toronto. As you probably know, among my toiletries and wardrobe, I pack a lot of notebooks.
Yes, you do.
So I actually have a section of my luggage that's carved out for these spiral notebooks.
Right.
Because my memory's just not that great when you see 40 or 50 films. I pulled out my spiral notebook for the film The Holdovers. And I'm flipping through. And now keep in mind that I scribble these notes in the dark.
Oh, right. I know.
In the dark, right? Yeah, so it's kind of tough to read this. I wrote on one page, I wrote 4 words on the whole page.
And the words were?
I love this film.
And there you
go. And I turned the page. It's like, love this film. Turn the page. Now, of course, I had some more notes in there, and I was lucky to interview Alexander Payne, who is the director of this film. So I have those recordings that I could refer to. But it's The Holdovers. And Alexander Payne, and I'll remind our audience, this is the man who gave us The Descendants.
Oh, I love that movie.
Sideways, Election,
yeah, okay.
Nebraska, About Schmidt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you a sense of for the quality of this. And it stars Paul Giamatti.
Oh, okay. I know which one you're talking about.
Of course, co-starred in Sideways for Alexander Payne. So here we are, and it takes place in 1970. And I want to talk a little bit about this. There are period films that make us feel that, oh, well, that's interesting because of the wardrobe or the soundtrack. This movie makes you feel not only that it's 1970, it feels as if it's a movie that was made in 1970. It has that kind of a soundtrack. And it turns out that when I talked to Alexander Payne, they used lavalier mics, which are very traditional
on
the actors, but they also used boom mics, which really aren't used on too many movie sets now, just to kind of create that mix, that sound, right, of movies in the 70s. The set design is so spot on. The wardrobe with the bell-bottom pants and the winter coats with the toggle buttons is so fabulous. I kept thinking that a young Jack Nicholson would walk into this movie, or a young Richard Roundtree was about to show up in this film. And then a soundtrack that includes, you know, Cat Stevens and the Allman Brothers. It takes place at the holidays, so it also has Andy Williams, you know, Most Wonderful Time of the Year. So let me tell you about the story. Paul Giamatti plays a professor at an all-boys school in New England. He is hated. He is absolutely hated by students and faculty, and he gets stuck holding over at the all-boys academy with a select group of kids who can't go home for Christmas.
Okay, and the holdovers.
They're called the holdovers. It's his punishment and penance, it turns out, that he gave a really, really bad mark to a really rich kid and who gives a lot of money to the academy. So it's like, okay, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you. We're going to listen to a little bit of the film right now. So you'll hear Paul Giamatti and his character of how really ruthless he is with some of the students. Ultimately, he is left alone with a young man by the name of Angus. He's played by an actor by the name of Dominic Sessa. It's his very first film, his debut film. He's fabulous. And Mary Lamb is the cook whose only child was recently killed in Vietnam, which was raging at the time. So here are these three stuck at Christmas. So let's take a listen.
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a 2-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the holdovers.
You know, he used to be a student, right?
Yeah, that's why he knows how to inflict maximum pain on us.
I thought all the Nazis were hiding in Argentina.
Stifle it, Tully.
You just earned yourself a detention, sir.
Being here with you is already one big detention.
Son of a... That's another detention!
Do you think I want to be babysitting you?
No, I was praying your mother would pick up the phone, or your father would arrive in a helicopter or a flying saucer.
My father's dead.
You don't tell a boy that's been left behind at Christmas
that nobody wants him? What's wrong with you?
Let me sleep.
Now, most of the kids dislike you, pretty much hate you. Teachers, too. You know that, right?
I find the world a bitter and complicated place, and it seems to feel the same way about me. I think you and I have this in common.
I don't think I've ever had a real family Christmas like this before.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Well, it comes for the holidays, too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a great holiday movie. To be sure, it's an adult film. There's a lot of R-rated humor in this. I adore this movie. I cannot recommend it enough. And I think I would recommend it to almost anyone. It's funny. It's touching. Obviously, yeah. This young man has a big hole in his heart, as does Mary, as does the Paul Giamatti character. Mm-hmm. And somehow they have to kind of make their way through the holiday and find their way to some coexistence. I love this movie, and it's perfect for the holidays.
And it opens this weekend.
It opens tomorrow at the Flicks in Boise. I think we would consider this to be kind of an independent film. But I also think that this has to be an Oscar nomination for the screenplay. It's a fabulous film. The set design, I love it. Paul Giamatti, who is so good as a character actor in so many things, mm-hmm. including Billions on television, mm-hmm. I think this is a Best Actor nomination.
Wow.
It's so, so good. I can't wait to see it again, actually.
Okay, it's on my list. I think I'll be dragging my husband there. Okay, number two movie.
So this one opens next week.
Okay.
And this is another comedy, but another R-rated comedy.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So something for the grown-ups here. This is called Next Goal Wins.
Oh, okay.
And it's so crazy, but it's a true story.
Yeah.
It's based on a true story. It's based on what was known as the worst soccer team in the world. By the way, this is Taiki Waititi is the director of this, and he's the man who won the Oscar for Jojo Rabbit, and he also did the Thor movies, those crazy Thor movies. So Next Goal Wins is about the American Samoa soccer team, infamously known for a brutal 31-0 loss.
Oh.
So World Cup qualifiers are approaching. The team hires this down-on-his-luck coach, played by Michael Fassbender, who I don't think I've ever seen in a comedy before. He usually does these serious films. He's hilarious. He is this totally burned out coach with no edit button in his brain. But the team is hoping that he'll turn this worst soccer team around. So let's take a listen.
I'm sorry, Thomas, did nobody tell you? You're fired.
Or American Samoa.
Are you serious?
Mark my words. Things are going to change. I got us a new coach.
Something to drink?
Whiskey, beer, wine?
Yep, we got all those. Which one?
Whiskey, beer, and wine.
Come on, guys!
We've worked too long and hard for this.
You've only been here a few days.
Dear Lord! Thank you for sending us Mr. Ongan. We've become quite attached to him. It's like finding a little lost white kid at the mall and telling him which way to go.
Right. I it's really funny. And ABBA, right?
ABBA's I love
in the
ABBA.
Sound. And that's not the only ABBA song in this movie.
Oh, my goodness.
So they obviously got the rights to those songs. It's really swell. Another really interesting piece here is the character Kaimana. She plays Jaya, the team striker, who is really the most influential person on the island and a member of this team. True story. Jaya is, and I want to make sure I get this right, Fafa Fine, which is, in American Samoan culture, people who have fluid genders that move between male and female worlds. Jaya played on this team that trying to qualify for the World Cup. I think to this day, the only player that is Fafa Fine that has ever been in sport at this level. So this is a groundbreaking story.
Mm-hmm.
There's a documentary on this. Again, you can go back and trace this, but see this movie. It's called Next Goal Wins. So here is a film, and Gemma, I know I've told you this before, where I have gone to a screening with a bunch of critics, and they're like, oh, this is just so infantile, whatever.
No one can see me, but I was just rolling my eyes.
Yeah, right. And I'm just thinking, did I miss this? Because I'm loving this movie. I bought a ticket, went that evening to a public screening.
Oh, okay.
And they went wild for this film. So I think this is an audience pleaser, and it's called Next Goal Wins. It opens a week from tomorrow, so next week, and it's a blast. So if you've got someone in your life who likes sports, if you just want to explore this culture, and then, of course, there's ABBA in there, I think it's really funny. It's a little bit like the Bad News Bears.
All the Bad News Bears.
For grown-ups. You know, which Bad News Bears, well, I think, was rated R too. But I think I kept thinking like that. So imagine Bad News Bears goes to American Samoa.
You know, I saw the trailer for it when I went and saw the Barbie movie.
Yeah,
and I thought I need to see this movie.
Yeah, it. What do we want in a movie? Take me somewhere I've never been. Right.
Right.
And this definitely does.
Well, and
that.
Tell me an inspirational story, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's inspirational, so it's got those moments, but it's got those just and. If you're not familiar, I don't know if that many people know how this turns out.
I don't.
Right. So there's that surprise too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And before we wrap up, you said you've been listening to a hit song that's been stealing the show. Explain this one, George.
Stealing the show. Talk about time traveling. So I'm going to take you back to 1988 right now.
Oh, okay.
So think of how big music was at the time, overproduced, et cetera. But then came this artist, an acoustic artist, and she stood out. She came out to the stage of the Grammy Awards in 1988, and here she is.
You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs.
Tracy Chapman.
Right. And of course she went on to win the Grammy for Best Pop Female Vocalist. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward 35 years.
Yes.
Last night on ABC, the Country Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And here is Luke Combs.
You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all my bills. You stay out drinking late at the bar. See more of your friends than you do your kids. I always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me'd find it. I got no plans. I ain't going nowhere. Take your fast car and keep on driving. So I remember when we were driving in your car, speed so fast.
And it won. It won Best Country Song last night.
Wow.
Tracy Chapman.
Was she there?
No, she is notorious for not showing
That's
up
true.
At too many public events now. She sent a very kind thank you. The first black artist ever to win an award in country music for writing a country song, the best song of the year. So she wins, as does Luke Combs, this song and record of the year, right? Which became this breakout hit on country radio. So the question now is, will this be nominated for a Grammy in the country category, right?
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Right, in 2024. And it's a heartbreaking song.
Oh, it really
right?
is.
Right? I mean, who didn't crank this up and sing in their car?
I had the cassette tape.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a near perfect song.
Mm-hmm.
And for Luke Combs, not to change a word of it, by the way.
You know what's interesting, George? I've heard some critics say that they don't like his version of this because it's basically the same.
Yeah.
And
it's gender neutral. Yeah.
But that's what I like about it is because it takes me back to listening to Tracy Chapman sing it.
And a number of people have covered this song. And I mean, Tracy Chapman is the gold standard.
Absolutely.
Right. But imagine all of the people, whether they're just young or just people in different parts of the country that never listened to Tracy Chapman. And now this is their song, right?
Right.
I loved it. So you can go on YouTube and see Tracy Chapman at the Grammys in the late 80s. You could see all these like ritzy celebrities in the audience and their jaws are dropping. It's like, who is this?
Yeah.
And the standing ovation. And Tracy Chapman is notoriously shy. And she went on to win that night. And then you can go online and see last night, right, Luke Combs, and it was pretty magical.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Well, George, as always, it's so fabulous to have you join us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gemma.
We've been talking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice, who spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition, talking about what to watch this weekend. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.